Good morning. It's a privilege for us to be here this morning to serve and to worship together with fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of His Holy Spirit be with us this morning and overshadow us. Thank you for coming and hearty welcome to each one that is here this morning. And those who listen online, they too might feel part of the service this morning, a message on God's love. Before we continue, let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning we just pause and give you thanks. You blessed us with another beautiful day. Although it is cold, yet we have a warm place to gather, we have a warm vehicle to travel in, and Lord, we have it so good. But when we think of the eternal life that you have to offer, we realize how rich we are. And it is because of the love that you have for us. And Father, this morning, as we gathered here as church family, as brothers and sisters in the Lord and visitors, Lord, we just pray that your presence, your spirit might be with us this morning and help us to understand and digest the depth of your love and grace and mercy that we are so undeserving of. Father, we commit ourselves this morning and Lord, we pray that your will might be accomplished and that the holy name of Jesus might be exalted. We pray in your precious name. Amen. We'll begin with a few songs.
Thou didst leave thy throne, number 68. Number 68.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang of thy birth and thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth and in greatest humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking and scorn and with crown of thorn did they take thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee. When and the heavens shall ring, and its choir shall sing at the coming to victory. Thou wilt call me home, saying, yet there is room, there is room at my side for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come, there is room at my heart for thee.
Silent Night, Holy Night, number 66. Number 66.
I trust those songs that we just finished singing came from the heart. There is room in my heart for thee. We are in the time of Advent. Or I should maybe say this. We are in a time between two Advents. First, when we think about the Advent of Jesus Christ coming as a small child into this world, and as we gather to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we also are in the advent of the anticipation of our Savior's return, not as a small child, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to judge in righteousness and holiness. And so for the people of faith, we have something to look forward to. And so, as we think about the small child in the manger, and we think about how he will return, and in God's time, it's the return of Christ has been preached for years, and yet it has not yet come, but in his time. We find in Galatians chapter 4, where Paul talks about, in chapter 4 and 5, he says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I want to pause there just for a moment. When we think about the adoption of sons, and we could say sons and daughters, to become adopted. In our society, when someone has adopted a child and taken them into their family, there is a place of security. There is a place of assurance that this child will be taken care of, that this child will have it good. And so we see that when Scripture talks about the adoption of sons, it not only talks about men, but men and women alike. It is when believers through faith in Jesus are brought into God's family, gaining the rights and status of full sons and heirs of and children of God, moving from the spiritual slavery to divine sonship with inheritance and privileges, not by physical birth, but by the spiritual birth, the regeneration of the heart to become one of his own. And so we realize that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have become heirs of God through Jesus Christ. The child that came and lay in a manger, who grew up and took our place on the cross. We find in the Old Testament the first expression of God's love was made known in Genesis 3:15, when Adam and Eve chose to transgress the law of God, and God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and he's talking to the enemy here, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This being the first glimpse of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And the prophets throughout the Old Testament prophesied of this child coming. And Paul says, in the fullness of time. And so it helps us to understand that God works in amazing ways. In a time when the culture was right. And so, back in Genesis, we are told that God's only begotten Son would enter a world that was measured by time. And yet, we know that when he ascended to heaven to be with the Father, he remains without time, eternity. From eternity to eternity, he came from without time, born into a world that is measured by time, and has ascended to be with the Father that is without time. Paul said, in the fullness of time. And so we see that God's providence and how he measures everything and how he controls everything is beyond our comprehension. And that is why we say we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that the scriptures, as prophesied in the Old Testament of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a small child and also of his return, will come into fulfillment because of the faith that we have. And so this morning we want to look at God's love, a time appointed by the Father, and everything has its purpose in its time. In Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalm says, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The psalmist himself acknowledged that the providence of God was beyond his comprehension. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see that God would use multiple generations through whom he would meet the needs of fallen men, which included you and I alike, all people. John 3:16 is a very familiar verse, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, brothers and sisters, I believe this single verse has more to speak about the love of God and this world than any other verse in the Bible. Because it's all-inclusive. It demonstrates his love for a lost world. It tells us what he gave. And it also tells us why he gave it. Love is an attribute of God. It's a description of who he is, his whole being. And I trust that this morning, as we have gathered here, we haven't gathered as foreigners or strangers, but brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, to exemplify and show the divine love of God that he has for us. A love so profound, a love that is so unending, that surpasses our understanding. And it has been my prayer that I will be able to share this message of divine love as revealed in the scriptures to the honor and glory of God. It is a love that carries us through the ups and downs of life. A love that is there when it seems like the wind from all directions is blowing in our face. It is a love that redefines us. And it refines us. And it is in those moments when we find it difficult to understand the love of God. In Hebrews, it talks about God's love and how he chastens them that love him. Those are moments in our lives that we may even reflect on a little bit, somewhat. But we don't want to dwell in the past, but just to understand the love of God, because it is in those moments of hardship that God continues to draw us. And we don't appreciate that, do we? But it serves good. It serves us good. And it honors God when he sees that the heart is mellow, and that the heart receives that love. God's love is not passive, nor is it an emotion. It's an active force that compelled him to send his Son into this world so that he could offer life and life eternal for all those who believe in him. The manifestation of God's love is made manifest as he displays it in action by the miraculous birth of our Son, Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us, and God said that he loved us. But he didn't just tell us that he loved us, he showed us. He demonstrated his love towards us in the coming of the Messiah in his time, in the fullness of time. And he did it in the most sacrificial way, in a way that it would reflect the Old Testament scriptures, where a sacrifice was given, where blood was shed for the atonement of sin to all those who believe. That is a sacrifice that was made on behalf of you and I, on behalf of all humankind. And so we realize that each one of us has a choice to make in life. And simply to check where we're standing. Are we current in our status, the love of God, or the love of our fellow men, or where do we stand? We realize that this was no small gift that God extended to us. This was a gift that was costly. A sacrifice made out of love for all humankind. And therefore we have an all-inclusive nature of God's love. For the verse says, whosoever believes, whosoever believes. It's an invitation for all people. And as I was reading this and studying this a little bit, I realized that the word whosoever opens its arms wide and says, come. Friends, the invitation is there. We just finished singing the song, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come. Then we see the eternal nature of this love. It does not tell us that those who believe in him are just simply going to have a better life. It doesn't tell us that they are going to have a more successful life. But friends, it tells us that they will have eternal life. Eternal life. God's love is not temporary. Like a lot of things in this world are, they're just for a season and they're gone. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. But it's eternal love that he extends to us. God in his infinite glory expressed his love to us through the virgin birth our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, in order to eliminate the sin nature of fallen man. God changed the birth process in order that one would be born who was without sin. Born under the law, that he might redeem us from the law of sin and bondage. That's the love of God that he extends to us even in this very moment. And friends, even when we've turned our back on him, his love continues to be extended to us and he invites us back. Psalm David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, he found himself in in a horrible situation, and he realized that he needed to come back into the fellowship of God. And he cried out in Psalm 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation." Friends, I trust that we have, most of us, I pray that we all have experienced salvation and freedom in Christ and the abundant life that he has to offer. But I will also say that sometimes things rob us from the joy of salvation. And we might just say the joy is out of this, has put the wind out of the sail. And life has become difficult. And sometimes it's because personal choices that I have made in life. Today we rejoice that Jesus came as a small child. Not only came as a small child, but to fulfill the mission that he had, that his father sent him for. And that was to grow up and to minister to the needs of the people. And he did that. That was God's gift to us. And now he has left it to the church to proclaim the message of salvation, that we may have abundant life in Christ. That is our hope. Friends, that is the hope that we have as believers in Jesus. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable." Friends, when our hope only takes us to the last breath, the resurrection of Jesus Christ doesn't do us any good. If the message of the gospel is for this life only, no life has a purpose. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And because Jesus was the first to rise from the grave, likewise we who have that lively hope also can inherit eternal life. And it is not only then, but by faith we inherit eternal life while we're here. But then we will see face to face with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'd like to conclude the first part of the message this morning with just a verse of a song written by Stuart Tower. It goes like this: "How deep a Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Unworthy as we are, yet by God's grace and mercy and love, let us for a moment go down on our bended knees and praise the Lord for the Christ child that came many years ago. And pray that the nativity scene would become so real in our lives, and that it would cause us to draw closer to Almighty God. For those of you who are able, let us kneel in a silent word of prayer. Father, would you receive our praise in Jesus' name? Amen.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 156, The Light of the World is Jesus. 156, for those that are able, let stand.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Thank you for that hearty singing. May that light just shine into our hearts as we enter into this Christmas season. For the second part of the service this morning, I'd like to share a story, a true account of a father and a son. The year was 1929. Some of you may have heard about it, but I'll just read it the way it is. The effects of the Great Depression were already being felt. John Griffith gathered his wife and his newborn son, and they packed their belongings into an old car and headed west. When they arrived at the Mississippi River, John found a job there as a tender of one of the many great railroad bridges. Day after day, John would sit in the control room and direct enormous gears of an immense bridge over the mighty river. He would look out wistfully as the bulky barges and the splendid ships glided gracefully under his elevated bridge. Each day, he looked on sadly as those ships carried with them his shattered dreams and his visions of far-off places and exotic destinations. Fast forward 8 years, he would take his now 8-year-old son, Greg, to work with him. The young boy watched his father proudly as he operated the levers to lower the bridge that allowed the train to cross the river, and must have thought at that time his dad was one of the greatest men. One day, after a leisurely lunch together, the sound of a distant train whistle was heard. John had lost track of time. The train was approaching. Instructing his young son, Greg, to stay put, John bolted for the steer house. When he arrived, he checked the river for approaching ships, all clear. Then he checked the gears below, and to his horror found his son had not stayed where he was instructed. The 8-year-old had followed his father and fallen off the catwalk into those gears. The sound of the approaching train nearly drowned the shrieking cries of his son, "Daddy, where are you?" John knew that lowering the bridge would crush his son to an agonizing death. Not lowering the bridge would send hundreds of passengers to their death. The shrieking cries of his son were slowly silenced by the grinding of the gears and the crushing of his son's bones. What seemed like an eternity later, the roar of the passing train overwhelmed the cries of John Griffin. In anguish, he pounded the glass windows in the control room and cried out, "What's the matter with you people? Don't you know? Don't you care? Don't you know that I have sacrificed my son for you? What's the matter?" And it seemed like no one cared. And suddenly, as it appeared, the train vanished into the distance. We hear of such a tragic story, if you will, a true account. And it tugs at our heart, does it not? And it should. I share that this morning simply to give us just a very vivid picture of the price that Almighty God paid to set us free. When his son hung on the cross and he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" He sent his only son to die for us, for all people, while we were on the journey headed for eternal destruction. There was no other way to redeem us. This father had a choice to make, either to sacrifice his son, to be crushed by those big cogs and those gears, or the 400 passengers would plunge to their death in the river. You see, friends, when our Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross for our love and obedience to the Father, from the third hour to the ninth hour, and darkness covered all the earth, what a horror. And he cried out, "It is finished." Friends, that is a love that I can't comprehend. The wrath of God was satisfied. He became sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God. The greatest measure of love, sacrifice, and hope and forgiveness ever shown to mankind. The bridge being a symbol of Christ, God's Son, the connection between a holy God and sinful man. And friends, that's our only passage to that heavenly mansion. There is no other way. Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Had Christ not created that bridge between the Father and fallen man, had he not been obedient to the Father, you and I would be eternally condemned. But today we can rejoice because we have received God's grace and mercy. And I believe it is our desire for each one, for friends, for family members, that we would all experience that. Yet we all have a personal choice to make in life. And it's a matter of death or life. As we scan the cultural landscape of the day, we get a very vivid sense of the anguish, the outrage, and the grief our Heavenly Father has when he looks down from his vantage point and see where this world is going. That is why he sent Jesus Christ. And friends, this was not an afterthought because of the actions of Adam and Eve. But he realized beforehand that he would need to provide a redeemer. Because of Lucifer, the angel who was cast out of heaven. You see, God cleansed heaven from that horrible abomination, the immorality that we see in today's society must grieve our Heavenly Father greatly. Every imaginable way. These passengers on this train did not know that their luxurious voyage and safety came at the price of a man sacrificing his son. How should they know? How should they know? But you and I have no excuse, friends, brothers and sisters. We've been told. The message of the gospel has been preached for years. And it has come to us at a very high price. And is being to offered us free for those whosoever will. We have been purchased not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. You see, and that was the mission of Jesus Christ. That was the foundation of our faith. Why? Because we were lost. We had inherited a sinful nature that was not in our control. From Adam and Eve and through the generations, through our parents, our forefathers. In Romans 3:10 it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to say this morning, friends, we have not totally accepted the grace of God, and we're dealing with some hidden things in life. We have reason to come before Almighty God. David did. The psalmist did when he found himself in dire straits. He had no fellowship with God. For as long as he was silent about his sin. And he writes in Psalm 32, verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He became physically ill, carrying the guilt of what he had done. Able to command his subjects as a king, to be obedient to him, yet unable to command his conscience. And it says, he says, my moisture is turned into drought of summer. Friends, sometimes it may seem as we are facing spiritual drought. And I would encourage us, let's come before God and pray as David did. He said, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wickedness in me, and cleanse me. Free me from that. Satan, the enemy, loves to keep us in bondage. And as long as we're in bondage, we will never totally feel free. And Scripture tells us in John, when the Son has set you free, ye are free indeed. The question is, have we accepted that? You and I, and all of us, all people have need to come before Almighty God and seek His mercy that is new every day. God's mercy is not receiving what we deserve. God's grace is receiving what we don't deserve. God is a loving God. He has no desire to see one, to see the death of a sinner. But it tells us, it says, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Just having acknowledged that we have come short and we are in need of help, receiving God's grace and mercy, God receives that, blesses that. But when there's sin in our lives and we don't deal with it, it's like David said, as a summer's drought. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. For night, day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Friends, if we feel that the hand of God is pressing down. Let's look to him. And just allow him to restore the joy of salvation. Because we have known, we have been told. His joy in life was gone, replaced by bitterness and anguish. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the shelter of grace, enabling us to see our needs and to deal with them. His mission was and always will be to free us up so that we may enjoy the peace and the joy that he came to give us, to offer unto us and to all mankind. Friends, we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. Everything around us changes. I sometimes say, before I got something figured out, it's different. And I may be a little slow on the draw, but God doesn't change. Isn't that beautiful? That's the assurance that we can take with us and the eternal hope that we have, that when this life has come to its conclusion, that there is a better place awaiting those who have accepted God's grace, who receive his mercy and love in their hearts. And if we have to call out, Lord Jesus, come to my heart, there is room in my heart, let's do that. We know that separation from sin always brings us to a point of blessing. And I know that is the desire of each one of us here, to be blessed by God, to be blessed by others, and to be a blessing to others, and a blessing to God. Psalm David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? That we may have joy in life, that we may have peace in our souls, that we may have the assurance of salvation, going through this life with an eternal hope that takes us beyond the grave. That is the desire of our Almighty God. And it is my prayer for each one of us here as we enter into the Christmas season, if you will. I suppose we're in it already. But gathering together with friends and loved ones, encouraging each other in our journey of faith to be united in the love of Christ. We want to give each one the opportunity one more time. Before we do that, let us just bow for a word of prayer. Father, this morning, in closing, we again approach the throne of grace. We thank you. Words fail us to extend our gratitude to you, to define love that you extended to us. We know that it has no measure. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. And Lord, even when we have failed, you continue to love us. You don't appreciate the sin that we do. And sometimes it's in deed or in thought, or sometimes it's with words that we say. Maybe it's the intent of the heart that is not known to man but open to your eyes. Father, we present ourselves before you with gratitude, knowing that you are the only way, you are the only bridge, that brought us back into the fellowship with our Creator, Sustainer, who sent His Son to bear the iniquities of all mankind. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And Father, we are so grateful for that. May our lives, may our conversations, may our conduct, Father, demonstrate the love that we have in Jesus Christ to others. May it flow as a river of living water, touching those hearts, those souls who seem to be in a spiritual dry valley, bringing them in into the kingdom to honor and glorify and magnify the name of Jesus. Father, you know each heart here this morning, and we pray that we would be open to you and simply acknowledge that we have come short. And you tell us in your word, when we confess, you are faithful to forgive. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. It's between you and us, the heart is the center point of it all. And Father, we just pray that your Spirit would have free course as we move forward into the days and weeks and months ahead, changing lives for the kingdom of God and for your glory. Father, thank you for this opportunity we could gather in such a way to share your word. And just to remember that we don't have any excuse not to know, because we've been told. The scripture's been read. The truth has been revealed. And the truth will set us free. Father, we just commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I have one announcement here that I was asked to share. It's a prayer request for Nettie Redicup. She's dealing with cancer and needs your prayers to deal with the pain that she endures. And so let's just remember Nancy in our prayers, and others that you are aware of. It is important as brothers and sisters that we walk together. We pray for each other and lift each other up. Anything else that you have in your heart, let us kneel in silent word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take our blue book and turn to number 83. O come, all ye faithful. Number 83.
Come and be of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye celestial hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Hey, Lord, we greet thee for this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give.
Come to the close of the service this morning. I want to thank each one for being here, and I want to say Christmas greetings and a blessed new year for my wife Mary and myself, and may the love of Jesus just continue to shine throughout wherever we find ourselves. I want to leave you with a benediction out of 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord.